December 13th, 2020, the third Sunday in Advent. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's December, and Christmas is less than 2 weeks away, and I can honestly say this was not the way I envisioned our first service together, but that's been 2020. Back in March, I thought it would be a 4 or 6 week disruption. Maybe we'd be through this by the end of the school year at the outside. 9 months later, we are still waiting. My son Thomas is a senior this year, something he's been waiting for his whole life so far, but it's been strange for him. He has yet to spend 10 days physically in a classroom, and he's waiting for what we're all waiting for. He's waiting for normality. My sister is a nurse, and yesterday she told me her hospital is supposed to receive their first doses of the vaccine next week, and she is waiting to find out when she's going to get the vaccine. And I'm waiting to meet most of you in person. We're all waiting to go on vacation, waiting to be able to see our extended family and our friends, waiting to give people hugs. We're waiting. And this is the season of Advent. It's the beginning of the church year, and we are all expectantly waiting for the birth of Jesus, the incarnation. We're waiting for Christmas. It's also, and hopefully Steve will forgive my bad pronunciation of Latin, Gaudete Sunday. It's the third Sunday in Advent. Gaudete means to rejoice, and that is how our passage from Paul begins today. Rejoice always. But not just rejoice. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. That's Paul. And what is Paul actually asking us to do here? Is he asking us to walk around like Pollyanna? I've heard it described this way. While happiness is dependent on external conditions, joy is the experience of knowing you're unconditionally loved and that nothing, not sickness, not failure, not emotional distress, not oppression, not war, not even death, can take that love away. It's that confidence in God and in His love. That's why the psalmist can say, "Then we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." The Negev is the land between the fertile part of Israel and the true desert. Those watercourses, those wadis, those arroyos, whatever you call them, often just look like ruts in the land. But when water comes, you can be swept away. But more importantly, when water comes, everything becomes green. And the psalmist knows that God will provide, just like He does every year. That confidence is why we can pray and know that those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. We have that same hope, that hope that God is going to do great things for us. And we know that because we've been able to see God work greatly in the past. Isaiah shows that same confidence. "They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed." The prophet's looking ahead to our Savior. Then he writes in one of my favorite passages, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display His glory." Think about that. In Christ, our worries will and our problems will be changed, and we will grow and be stronger for the experience. Now, Isaiah says that this leads back to rejoicing. He's in agreement with Paul that this knowledge that God always blesses and always takes care of His people means that He'll take care of us too, even in times like this. We recognize this Sunday that the Incarnation is within sight. In our Gospel reading, we see John being sent from God, not as the Messiah, but as the one who prepares the world for his coming. He comes to make straight the way of the Lord. He comes to baptize and to show those around him who is coming, Jesus. This has been a rough year for all of us, but keep your focus on Jesus. And remember that, like John, we are called to help prepare the way of the Lord. Each of us has something we can do to show God's love. We can still encourage and build each other up. We can still show that love to the world. I was encouraged yesterday when I came to the church and saw the angel tree gifts arrayed around. I saw the cookies on the tables. And that is what we should be about in this time. Showing God's love to the world. If you can't be out and help the way you could back in February, there are still ways you can show God's love. You can pray for people. You can pick up the phone. You can call and you can check in with others. Listening. Laughing when laughing. Crying when crying. But pray with them. Send an email to a friend or a family member that you haven't heard from in a while and you don't know how they're doing. Right now, people need to know others care. They need someone to talk to, someone to pray with them. Some of our brothers and sisters need to know that even in a pandemic, God's promises have not failed and God's people are still here. If you can sew, there are ministries that need masks for the homeless. If you can pick up your neighbor's groceries when you're on your way to the store, offer to get them. Whatever we do, we need to show God's love however we can. Amen. Thank you for listening. My name is the Reverend Jeremiah Mustard. I am the interim deacon in charge at St. Paul's. Wanted to let you know about a couple of things that are coming up. Through January 3rd, our Sunday services will be online only on Zoom. We are also having, throughout the next few months, on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Compline, also on Zoom. If you haven't gotten the information in your emails, reach out to Barbara in the office and she'll make sure that you get it. We'd love to have you there and join us. That's at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. After the first of the year, we'll start an online Bible study as well. We're still working out those details. For Christmas at 4 p.m., there will be an online service that you'll be able to watch and pray and follow along with. And at 10 p.m., we will be meeting in the church for Holy Eucharist. Sign of Genius will go out here in the next few days. Look forward to either seeing you online or seeing you in person. And if you need to get in touch with me, please, again, reach out to the office, and I'll be happy to talk to you and meet you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.